Good morning. Thankful to be here today as always. Thankful that God has given me an opportunity to share a little bit of what he's given to me in obedience, and pray that what we learn today together allows us to be a little bit better than we were when we walked in. So, those of you that are home online, we're thankful that you're tuned in as well. And if you have or have not been following along with the series, I'm gonna get you caught up a little bit. We're on a series called Canceled, and it is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians. We are gonna jump around between chapters 12 and 13 today. Chapter 13, as a matter of fact, is what's commonly known in churches as the love chapter. And we're going to dig into that a little bit and see if we can drop a little knowledge on you today about love. I would like for you, before you fall asleep, stand up, get you a little loose, and I want to read this together before we go into the service. We're going to back up from 13 and start in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28. And if you will, let's read this together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you. It is no accident that we're all here together in this space and time. Whether we're here physically, whether we're online, it is no accident. You have a word for us today, and I thank you for it. Allow us to open our eyes and ears, and most importantly, our hearts, to what it is you would have us to learn today, and most importantly, lift you up and honor you with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if I'm going to give a title to this sermon today, I'm going to title it A Most Excellent Way. And we are going to bounce back between 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. So there's some verses that are going to actually be repeated for sake of emphasis. And you'll kind of get it as I go back and forth, so I want you to just bear with me. But again, if you followed along the series Canceled, the reason we did that is that we're covering the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll find that Paul's letter to the Corinthians makes up his largest body of work that's dedicated to one specific congregation. And these letters are are written to address certain problems in the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth, to be quite honest with you, was kind of a jacked up church. And he gave us a picture of what was going on in the church, and we're going to go over some of that stuff. But I want to ask you first, before I get too far on this, any first-time visitors here today? Anybody first time? Thank you. Welcome. Welcome. Glad to have you here. I said, if you haven't heard me before, I don't want to scare you off, but I like for my audience to talk back to me sometimes, so I might ask you to say some things, or feel free. And if you got nothing else to say, just say hallelujah. But welcome. Thankful that you shared time. Come on, Bob, get up. Bob is falling asleep already. But anyway.
I'm sorry.
So, let me bring this back. The Church of Corinth was established by Paul, set off with a group of Gentiles and Jews, and Paul left, thought things were in good alignment and found out that all kinds of crazy stuff was going on in the church. So that's the reason he had to address these things. He had to tell them basically to focus on Christ. He talked about, and we've covered some of this stuff. I mean, the first time, you know, Linwood talked, one of the biggest problems they had is that the church was divided as far as leadership was concerned. Some people like this person, some people like that person. And if you are new or not familiar with us, we rotate preachers here every other Sunday. And Linwood talked about this, you know, the example, what he gave. You know, and I say, some of you, after I preach, every time I preach, you walk up to me and say, you know, Linwood's my favorite, but you're my second favorite. You know, or, you know, I really, you know, I like Joe when he preaches, and, you know, they will rank us in order of preference, in order of favor. I like y'all to like me, so, you know, it's okay if you tell me I'm your favorite, but that is not the point. And what Paul had to do to curb this disunity in the church, and just as a message to you, is saying, you know what, you might follow Paul, you might follow Apollos, but all of them preach Jesus, and who you need to be looking at first and foremost is Jesus. And it don't matter who's up there preaching, because if they're preaching Jesus, that's the message that you need to get. So he had to bring them all back together on that. And I'm happy and proud to say that whoever is up on this stage with the leadership of the church we have, I guarantee you, you're not going to get on this stage unless you're going to preach Jesus. So it's going to be okay whoever is up here in each Sunday. But there was other stuff going on, gross immorality in the church. Yeah, this was in the church, gross immorality. I know you're in Wildwood, there ain't no immorality in here. But in the church of Corinth and some of these other churches that y'all don't go to around here, there's immorality. Because this message is not just written to them, but it is a message for what's happening to us right now. Tells them that they need to exercise church discipline to curb some of this. Some of the believers were actually taking each other to court. Joe talked about that. He says, you know what? Don't take your disputes out in the public where they have nothing to do with Jesus. You settle your disputes here within the church with each other. There was confusion about whether you needed to be married or single, and how married people should relate to each other. There was a mixed background in the church. Socioeconomical situations were different, just as it is here. Some people had a lot of money and were rich. Some people were poor. But they actually got to the point when they did communion. It's not like the little cup of juice and crackers that we pass around here. They actually brought in the real stuff, the real wine and food, and celebrated it in way of a banquet. So some people had a whole lot of stuff that they brought in for communion and celebration, to the point that they actually indulged. Some people didn't have anything. So we had this kind of stuff going on in the church. Talked about eating meat sacrificed to the idols. So just like we do, these little ticky-tacky things that we have that, you know, I like this, but I don't like that, or I like this and I don't like that, caused division in the church. And thus, some church members were canceling other church members, or some churches were canceling other churches. And we have this cancel culture here. And this is why we decided to do this particular series. Today, I'm going to be living in chapter 13. And as I said, we're talking about a most excellent way. A most excellent way. Paul decided that it was necessary, because of all this division, that he showed them a better way to do that. And that way was through love. If we jump into 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2, this is what he says. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, if I don't have love, I'm like this. I couldn't do the cymbals because they're electronic. So the best I could do was a tambourine. See, y'all don't know a whole lot about this. It's annoying to white people, but in a black church, we'd be getting it on, and it'd be working fine. But if you don't have love, it can become annoying. It can become irritating. He uses illustration. If I have the gift of prophecies, getting into gifts, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but if I have a faith that can move mountains, those are good things, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, That's a good thing, right? If I give my body over to hardship, or some versions say, give my body over to be burned, that's honorable. That's a good thing, right? But if I don't have love, I've gained nothing. And then this is the clincher. It says, love never fails. Love never fails. Let me repeat that. Love never fails. Do y'all believe that? Well, I don't know, because some of y'all tell me, Chris, I've been married 2 or 3 times, and my love failed me 2 or 3 times. It just ain't working. So, I felt it necessary to give you a little bit of illustration and some demonstration about love. What is love? Huh? Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. All right. See, y'all did better than the first service. First service didn't know nothing. I had to tell them all this stuff. I like second service. Y'all got a little, yes, work. Y'all got a little bit extra sleep, so y'all can talk to me. Hallelujah. All right. Let's break this down. The reason that we have an issue with love is because love is often confused with like. What do you mean by that? I can tell you right now, I love barbecue ribs. I love Papa Clyde's ice cream. I love watching the Miami Dolphins during football season, the Golden State Warriors during basketball season. Both of them lost in the playoffs, but I still love watching them. We love certain things that make us feel good, but it's not really love. It's more of a like, because it has an emotional attachment to it. You say love never fails, but all of that stuff actually does fail. So what do you mean? In order to understand this, you have to actually break this thing down. So the Bible actually gives us a doctrine of love, and it talks about love in 4 different areas. Through the Greek, introduce these Greek words to you. You'll start to get this as I explain it. And some of you Bible scholars already know this stuff, but it's important to keep repeating it here. You have the storge love, which is the family love. The husband-wife love, the father-son love, the mother-daughter love, that bond, that family bond, that relational bond is storge. You have the phileo love, which is the brotherly love. Church members, we have love for each other, those of us that know each other. You have those 2 or 3 tight friends that you could call at any particular time that are going to be backing you up. Have that type of brotherly relation love. The eros, the sensual romantic love. This is where most of us mess up. You know, it's funny. People use Corinthians 13 a lot of times in their weddings. I have performed quite a few weddings here. I've got 2 or 3 that are going to be coming up this year that I will be doing. And people often like to use parts of Corinthians 13, that love is patient, love is kind, this, that, and the other thing. And then, you know, 6 months, 8 months down the road, they're breaking up, going their separate ways. And we still talk about love doesn't fail. We're going to get into that. Because see, Paul wrote this chapter not to talk about the lovey-dovey love or marriage or things of that nature. He wrote this chapter to basically take this church and slap it in the face and say, you know what? Y'all ain't doing this right. I'm going to show you a more excellent way. I'm going to show you what love is. The fourth love is where we're going to sit today, the agape love, the unconditional love. The Greek word, agape, it is the highest form of love. It is selfless. It's sacrificial and an unconditional love. It's a love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstance. Let me repeat that. It is a love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstance. So you had this situation I will get back into that's going on in the church. And their actions were saying anything and everything except, I love you, or this is a loving place. I put up here 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, but what I want to do, just to give you a little bit more background, I felt it necessary, I'm going to go back and start it at verse 1. Y'all don't mind me reading out of the Bible, do you? It's better than listening to me talk, right? Because there can't be nothing wrong with this. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to start at 1 in my version. Bear with me here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. For the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. And this is where I get into this verse on the screen here. For just as a body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with great respect, which our respectable parts do not need. What are we talking about here? What was happening in the church as the Holy Spirit ended up moving on the church of Corinth, the issue that was being addressed is that some of the people began to get the gift of tongues. And they used that gift to speak in the church. And what was happening is they found themselves lifting themselves up because they were more spiritual than those people that couldn't speak in tongues. So the two people or three people that spoke in tongues were trying to outspeak in tongues among themselves to prove how spiritual they were. So you had a group of people that were here doing this performance and saying, I'm more spiritual because I have this gift and I'm exercising it. You had those people that didn't have a gift at all and were like, I don't know, either I ain't got something or, you know, those people are crazy. And we actually still deal with that today. We have congregations and denominations that hold themselves off to the side because they say they are more charismatic than some of us and they speak in tongues, so they have something we don't have. My personal story is my wife and I got caught up in a church like that early on in our marriage. Many people considered me to be unsaved because I was not a tongue speaker. Now, I am not here to bash tongue speaking. I actually very much emphatically believe in tongue speaking. I also emphatically believe that there should be an interpretation of tongues if it is used properly. And I actually also emphatically pray that all of the gifts of the Spirit, because there are 21, 22 to 28 debatable gifts of the Spirit, operate fully and functionally in this church. And I'm going to tell you something, we got a long way to go. Because there's some people that are cessationalists. They believe that some gifts stop, this, that, and the other thing. I'm not here to debate theological differences because we're going to be just like the Corinthians talking about, well, you believe that and you believe it. I'm not getting into that. What I do want to talk about is using our gifts and using them appropriately within the confines of how God intends us to use it. True story. I brought this tambourine up to talk about the clanging cymbals and loud noise and the annoying thing. True story. A brother that I knew that belonged to a church that Andrea and I belonged to before we came here actually came and visited this church, and he had his tambourine with him. And he sat down back maybe where that camera was, and when praise and worship team got up, he just started beating his tambourine. And three or four of y'all turned around and looked at him like he had three heads. Now, I think he came back maybe one more time, and then he didn't come back anymore because he said, you know what? These people don't like to praise the Lord. They make me feel uncomfortable, and I want to praise the Lord in my own way. So I'm going to go somewhere that will accept me and my tambourine. Was that a good attitude? No. He was annoying. And let me tell you his personal story. He actually had gone from church to church with his tambourine with the purpose of sitting in services to play it, to say he was praising the Lord, and he annoyed everybody he was around. And when gifts, now there is something called a gift of exhortation, and I'm going to tell you the truth. When a tambourine is being played the right way and people are in a spirit of praise and worship, this fits in perfectly. And it actually enhances the service and it lifts everybody up. But if you're just going to be doing this all the time, just because it's what you like to do, you're going to be annoying people. So was the issue with gifts that Paul had to address in the church. It says here, and I'm going back to this verse that I put in before because I want to stay here for a second. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't what? Have love? I'm like this tambourine. I paraphrased that, y'all. That ain't in the Bible. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, that's a pretty good gift, right? That's strong. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, there is a spiritual gift of faith, yes. But I don't have love, what? I'm nothing. Anybody ever been hurt by the church? Yes. Absolutely. Nick gave me an amen. Stay awake, Nick. I'm walking down your street. Lots of people are here because they got hurt at the church they were at before, and they came here to find another place. Amen. Lots of people have left Wildwood, believe it or not, because they got hurt here, and they're gone somewhere else to find another place. That is no way to consider where it is that God wants you to be. People have left here because they don't like the music, they don't like the carpet, they don't like the sound system, they don't like me preaching. True. Lots of people have a problem with a black preacher preaching in what's supposed to be a white church. No way. Oh, yeah, wave. People leave because they want to have that feel good. They want to have the like instead of the love. And the church has hurt so many people. You know, as a matter of fact, the pandemic shifted everything in the opposite direction, away from church. People would come and they were tolerating things. Things were going pretty good. Then the pandemic hit. Then all of a sudden, nobody could go to church. And now you're sitting at home on Sunday saying, well, I didn't really want to be there anyway. I'll watch it online. And, you know, and eventually when you start coming back, oh, well, 2 years, I didn't have to go. I don't need to go. You know, I'd rather do something else. I can watch it, this, that, and the other thing. And then the online audience starts falling off to the point that they don't even deal with church anymore. And now there is a refreshing. And I think that actually was a purging that God did. That's my own philosophy. But people are now coming back. And what we don't need to happen is as they come back, we don't need to show them disunity. We don't need them walking in here and we looking at them sideways, thinking that they're odd. I asked the first congregation, and I'm going to make some of y'all upset, but what would happen if a gay couple came walking in here and were holding hands and came in and sat down in front seats? How would y'all accept them? What would you do with them? How would you deal with them? Well, some of y'all say that, some of y'all holy people, but others are going to look at them sideways like they did with the man with the tambourine. But church does hurt people, and Paul had to address this because the rap we get as a congregation, as Christian people, is we're the most unloving group of people out there. We cancel everybody because they're not like us. And it's very unfortunate. The book of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 12, 14, 15, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That bitter root, that bad feeling that people get about. Every time I ask people to come to church, oh, yeah, Chris, you know, if you're speaking, I might come, I show up. But you know what? I don't want to be a part of church. I don't want to be part of those people. Yeah, but you got a lot of things that God wants to do to you. You know what? I'm a foot. I'll go out there and be a foot by myself. What kind of sense does that make? Or I'm a hand. I'll go out there and be a hand. All I'm going to do is wave. The Bible tells us that we are needing to be a part of the body of God to be our most effective. And if you're a good hand, be a good hand. But I tell you what, it's going to be so much better if you're attached to an arm and an elbow. Find an arm and an elbow and attach yourself to them. Who finds a torso and who finds legs, who finds a head and some eyes. That's what all of you are. You all are a part of the body. It says, now you are the body of Christ. You know, the biggest problem we have is we come here, we listen to whoever's speaking, we listen to the good music, it's a good environment, we have a good time, we eat good food back there, whatever, and that's all the part we play. So this is my question to you. What's your gift? What is your gift? Gift, that's one of them. How are you using it?
Helping others.
Amen. Ain't but two people got gifts in here. Sad, sad, sad. Know your gifts. Know your place. I said there's between 20 to 28 different gifts that God gives us. If you say, some of you just don't know, and it's okay. That's why I'm preaching this sermon. Give me drop some knowledge on you. If you say you're a non-gifted Christian, you're saying one of two things. You're saying, one, I'm not a Christian. I'm not connected to the body. That's okay. Jim talked about it in communion. We can fix that today, quick and steady. You can be connected to the body. Won't take you long. You ain't even got to join the church to do that. Or the second thing is, and which I think is what the bucket that most of us falls in, a spiritual gift is an ability given to God to believers that is specifically designed to be used in service for his kingdom. If you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, if you ain't in tune with the Holy Spirit, you might not be aware of your gift. And that's okay. That's what church is for. We're here to fix all of this stuff that's messed up in us. It's all right. This is a no shame game. You're in the right place because we can fix both of those situations. And if you have a gift and you're not using it to accomplish his purpose, there's going to be no power in the gift. As a matter of fact, it's all just going to tear up stuff. There are people that are in church that upset other people, that annoy other people. And yeah, they're gifted, but if they're using it to lift themselves up, it's only going to cause disruption. Or if they think they have a gift and they're not using it right, that's going to cause disruption too. The choir didn't get mad at me the last time, they might get mad at this. There's some people up on praise and worship, ain't got no business up here on the stage. Not specifically talking about Wildwood, but I've been in a lot of the choir is the is it my wife and I have been a part of music in churches for many years. The choir has been the most disruptive group of people that I've ever been a part of in a church. Because people are looking at how glorious I am, how great my voice is, and I can get a whole lot of attention. And as soon as Sister Sally or Brother Mark sings that song, and they come up and say, "Oh, you did such a great job." Yes, I did. Or Midge gets to sing the song. Well, he sang the song last week. Why can't I sing the song? I want to do, you know. It's because of the attention. It's because of the public notification. Having a gift that allows you to do stuff in public is really dangerous. The second most disruptive group is the preachers. Because they're jealous of each other too. Now, I truly am not talking about why would every brother that gets up here on this stage, and I'm being totally honest and sincere, every brother that gets up here on this stage preaches Jesus, and it's very important to me. So yeah, if some of y'all say y'all like me, that's fine. You know, you were meant to hear my message today, but there's going to be another message next week that you need to pay attention to. Not because I'm not up here, it's because they're going to preach Jesus. Don't be distracted by who's up here. Know your gift. Know your place. I look at these people here, the Longos on the front seat, that work with the young people, that work with the kids, that in their ministry and in their talking have brought people here to the baptism waters. I look at the ushers, those people that serve, the camera people, the sound people. They're not up here. But they're an integral part of church. But most importantly, not just within these four walls. Your spiritual gift is most importantly used outside of these four walls. Because that is the church. That is the body of Christ. The people that really need you don't know that you pass around the plate here on Sunday. The people that really need you don't know that you help watch the kids over there. But you can have a gift of helps. You can have a gift of service. You can have a gift of exhortation. You can have a gift of faith that nobody in this church really knows about, but that little old lady down the street that needs your help, she might not be saved. She might not be a member of church. She might be even a member of a different political party, race, creed, or culture. But God wants you to use your gift with them because that is what lifts up him, most importantly, and lifts up the church. Amen? Amen. Know your gift. Know your place. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I stole this from Tony Evans, breaking down this thing about love, agape love, a biblical love. And what he says, and some of you already shouted it out, it's not an emotion, it is a decision. It is a decision to compassionately, righteously, responsibly, and sacrificially seek the well-being of others. If we are operating in true agape love, it's not about us. It's about God first and somebody else later. Seeking the well-being of others. That's the problem we have. All of the time, and I tell you this all the time, you ain't got to like somebody to love somebody. You have to make a decision to do something that works in the well-being of others, in the favor of somebody else. And that's what true love is. Don't feel good all the time, but that's what true love is. Because let me tell you, let me help you understand something. It didn't feel good when Jesus Christ died on that cross. But he compassionately and righteously and responsibly and sacrificially sought the well-being of each and every person here in this church. This is the thing that's in all of the weddings. Let's drive down the street for a second. Love is patient. When I drive down US 19 every day, I am not loving. If you are in front of me and you don't move when the red light turns green, you're going to hear a horn blowing in the back of your head.
Oh, no.
Yes. I have to work on that. But I use that example, and I use it for myself to understand that patience. I mean, we got to operate. You know, it's a process, people. I'm a pretty old guy. I'm a lot better than I used to be when I was younger, but I still got a ways to go. It's a process. Love is kind. Are we always kind? Or when somebody is not doing what we want or saying what we want? I mean, even I find myself, when we look at the TV and we see something on there we don't like, first thing we say is something bad out of our mouth about what we see on TV, or a person we don't like, or a politician we don't like. Love does not envy. I told y'all about that yellow convertible I saw in the parking lot a couple weeks ago that I was like, boy, I really like that. But the material things, the things we want, the things that we might be jealous of, the push that we make to try to get something bigger and better than the next person, it's not love. It's not a focus on Christ. It doesn't boast. When somebody praises you, when somebody says something good about you, how do you accept that? Well, yeah, I am pretty good, aren't I? Yeah, I did do that. Yeah. When we operate in our gift, it's a dangerous balance because, you know, God's supposed to get the honor, but people will compliment you because they see God working through you. That's because of God. That ain't because of you. If His Spirit leaves you, let me tell you something. It won't be a gift anymore. It's going to be a curse. It doesn't dishonor others. Who are the those people in your life that you don't like, that you don't understand, that just get on your nerve? Everybody has a group of those people. I got my own. I'm working on it. It's not self-seeking. I don't look, if I'm operating in agape love, I don't look to get attention for myself. It's not easily angered. Gosh, you see people just mad all the time, mad about this, mad about that, just downright frown on their face. Not easily angered. And I tell you, I can jump from 0 to 100 if my flip is switched the wrong way. Something you got to work on. Keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, my goodness. People leave church. People mad. They won't come back. Sister Sally did this to me, too. 2 years ago, Sister Sally at the potluck dinner brought the same dish I did, and she put mine back in the kitchen and put hers up on the table. Keeps a record. No, that's a true. Those are true stories that I've heard. These are things that happen in the church. Somebody did something to you 2 years ago. Oh my God! If Jesus remembered all of the stuff that I did that I messed up on, man, the lightning bolt, I'd be evaporated. Does not delight in evil. I spun this evil thing just so that you can think about things that you allow in your life that you may not realize are demonically influenced or satanically influenced. It's a real world out there that we battle that is evil. The things you watch, the things you listen to, don't let that stuff in your life. Some people say it's only on entertainment, but that is how the devil is taking us out one by one, unawares. It rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love, people, never fails. You starting to get it now? It doesn't fail. If we can operate in the area of agape love, it is never going to fail. Because where there are prophecies, they're going to cease. Where there are tongues, they're going to be stilled. Where there's knowledge is a pass away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. What does that mean when completeness comes? Talk to me. Yeah. When Jesus comes back, None of that stuff is going to matter. It is okay to have the gifts now. It is okay to prophesy. It's okay to speak in tongues. It's okay to gain knowledge, but there's going to be a point in history that Jim talked about that when Jesus comes back, ain't none of that stuff going to matter. The stuff you got, the toys you got, none of it's going to matter. The stuff that you're hustling after right now that isn't in the area of where God wants you isn't going to matter. Because it's going to disappear. And there are three things that will remain in the end: faith, hope, and love. Well, let me tell you how that lines up. Faith and hope are going to disappear too, people. Because when Jesus does return, the faith that we have now, that we keep coming to church and we keep working in his behalf, the hope that we have now, it's a present thing. But when he comes back and we're with him, we won't need any more faith and hope, because it's going to be fulfilled. We're going to be there with him, and it's going to be a glorious time. And what are we going to have left? Love. Can you imagine living in that environment forever and ever? If you can't, if you don't know about it, again, we can fix it. We can fix it before we leave today. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up because we're getting ready to shut this thing down. But these are your two steps. If you're having this issue like I have an issue in understanding this agape love and getting out of the like portion, we can do this now. Decide, people, when you leave here today, even before you leave, look at the neighbor that might have sat in your seat or you got an art against, and you decide to love them. And you might not like them today, but you can decide to love them. You can decide to talk to them. You can decide to work together and figure out how it is you can live together as a part of this one body. Most importantly, if you're not a member of the body, you can decide to know love. I talked about those gifts of people that you don't see, and I have an encourager that always sends me a text and talk to me. And many of you are my encouragers, but this lady sent me this text, and it's the perfect ending to my sermon because it was something taken from a message from Charles Stanley. And it talks about accepting love. Many of us feel like we're already canceled. We feel like nobody in this environment can love us, or we don't deserve to be loved. But we have to learn how to accept love, because Jesus Christ died to show us this. Religion is misunderstood, because religion cancels. Religion excludes people because of their behaviors and proclivities. But Jesus was different. He was canceled by the religious culture there because he wasn't one that canceled people. He canceled culture, and he showed us how to live in relationship. And what he showed us was that agape love. He showed us that he could sacrificially, compassionately, righteously, and responsibly come, live, die on the cross, and raise again to seek the well-being of each and every person that is in here. You don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to try harder. The door is open, and he's welcoming you in. And I don't care what direction you're coming from, and I used this example last week. Look at the diversity we have up here on this stage with these four people. Different cultures, different backgrounds. Think of the people, the world that we need to influence with our love. And think of this. If you point them to this cross and we all would get up and walk from our different directions and we come to this narrow road, we all gonna come together. We will all come together because we're focusing in one direction, on one thing, and that's the love of Jesus Christ. If you want to know that, I ask you today to decide to accept his love. You don't have to sit here and figure it out. It's real easy. Come up front. You talk to us after service. We can help you fix it. If you're not ready to make a decision today, just open the door and let us talk about it. It's not about joining this church. It's about being a part of the body and abiding in Christ's love. Amen? All right, let's leave here and let's decide to love. Thank you so much. Come to the front if you want us to talk to you, if you need prayer, we're here to welcome you.